Calvary covers it all.
Thank you. We put your hymnbooks away. Turn it over.
Thank you. Praise God. You ready to come and praise God?
Amen.
His blood covered it all. God has provided for us that we can be more than overcomers. You know? We get like a pastor says, God's provided it under grace a total victory program. Praise God. You know, we're going to look at that. Let me start this thing. And then I'll try and remember when I'm thinking about do the date, and it's easy to jump into it. Yeah, I'm like a pit bull sometimes. Let me off the leash, you know, and go. Today is April 29th, the last day of April, I believe, in 2012. And my message is going to be living overcoming lives in the midst of suffering, trials, and tribulations. It ain't no word and fate message, I'll tell you that. That God's just going to bless you with every little dream, you know, that you're never going to go through anything. Because that's a very unrealistic expectation, and it's enough to get you depressed. But how do we live victorious when we face things? And I can preach this with conviction. I'm going to pray first, because me and Mary, since we got married, but I want to sort of emphasize that, not because we got married. I got the best wife in the world, I think. She's encouraging, loving, never complaining. And so it's not marrying her, but in the last 4 years, we went through so much. I lost my business, as many of you know. I lost a building. Took my life savings, tried to put it in to start another thing. That didn't work out. Mary had cancerous cells. She had carpal tunnel where she couldn't even hardly shampoo her hair. I remember her crying. Hold on. By May 4th, we got to be out of our house, foreclosure. And I'm not saying anything to make you feel sorry for us, because don't. God has taught me some wonderful things. But we're all going to go through things, and if we don't know how to deal with it, we're just going to fall down, you know. And we're not much of a testimony to others. So let me pray, and then we're going to go to the book of Job, the very first chapter. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. For through His death and burial and resurrection, we have everything we need to live as more than overcomers, God. As conquerors, we come out of the battle with more than we went in with, God. Thank you for that. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for having us come to an assembly, a building. We're the church, and when we come, but we understand right division, God. That we don't get confused how to deal with problems, trying to get promises from other people that you promised, other dispensations, but help us to know how to deal with our things and our dispensation and grace, and just to live victorious above it and not be destroyed by it. I pray your Holy Spirit, God, just uses me to encourage today. I just offer my body, Lord, my personality. May you express your truth through me, Lord. Give me wisdom to preach your word today, Father, and that we might know you better, that Christ, we might know him not only as our Savior, but as our life, and be better equipped to serve you and glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The book of Job. It's one of, supposedly the first book of the Bible, the oldest book of the Bible. Job went through some stuff, man. You ever look at Job, and he didn't understand it. You know, he didn't have as much information as we do. You know, now we have how many books? Progressive revelation, and now the Word of God is completed, and we have that. But Job, he didn't know at the time. You know how many people have been blessed by the book of Job? You look at Job's problem, and you think, mine ain't really that bad. You know, so we're going to look at that, and hopefully, if I have enough time, we're going to, you know, it says things that written in the past are written for our learning, for our comfort. We can learn from it. So all the Bible's for us, right? But all of it isn't directly to us, about us. That's why you rightly divide the word. So you don't get confused, because we're going to see Job had some terrible counselors. Watch when you're going through things who you look to for counseling. You don't want to go to some secular psychiatrist that is an atheist that doesn't even believe in God, because he's going to give you some psychobabble. I mean, you can do whatever you want, but be careful who you put your mind in their hands, because God has given us a counselor. And what's a counselor do? He gives you counsel, right? The Holy Spirit is a counselor, and He counsels us through the Word of God. And we have the mind of Christ here, and we have the mind of Christ inwardly by the Holy Spirit. And He teaches us, and He's equipped us to deal with things. You know what the problem is? Remember when Jesus, the guy who was at the well, and nobody would put him in, you know, the pool of Bethesda. What's a Bethesda? And did you ever notice? Did you ever wonder? I had heard a pastor bring this up. He asked them, "Do you want to be healed? Do I want to be healed? I've been sitting there for years. I can't even get up and walk." Well, if Jesus heals them, can he sit there and beg anymore? Don't he got to go get a job? Can he manipulate people anymore? Mm-mm. Now he's got to mature and get out there. And sometimes we don't want to grow up. You know, sometimes we don't want to apply the Word of God in our lives. You know, but growth is taking the Word of God and applying it. You're never going to be perfect, right? Until we get to the rapture, we won't have sin natures anymore. But growth, you know, it's not a believer is righteous in God's eyes. When God sees you, He sees you as righteous. That's part of your identity. But our walk, or if you want, our condition, sometimes doesn't always match our identity in Christ. You know, a lot of people say our position. I like identity, because, you know, sometimes you say our position and it just sounds like a bunch of theological big words. I like our identity is who we are in Christ. Who God's made us, holy, without blemish, perfect in His sight. That's how He sees you. I love Dave was, I don't remember what he was preaching on, but he says, you know, do you come to God differently when you sin? Because if you do, you don't understand grace. We come to God boldly before His throne of grace and mercy. Why? Because of Christ, right? Because He sees you righteous and holy. That's why He can use us. He can use every... If you're in Christ, He can use you. And there's some misconceptions today that... And I think we're going to find some things out even... They blame God, you know. What do they say when a storm happens or a tornado? It's an act of God, right? God gets blamed for a lot of things. And people teach... Well, if you're going through something, if you're sick, must have sin in your life. Need to confess it. Get right with God. Get in fellowship, right? And they're instead of taking, realizing we got three enemies, right? God's not the only one out there. Satan's out there. And we're going to see as we go through Job here that it was Satan who was pulling this stuff. But, as Martin Luther said, Satan's on a leash. He can only do what God allows him to do. And if God allows some things to happen, there's a purpose for it. He doesn't make bad things happen to you. That's a misconception too, because you see Job's counselors, miserable counselors, saying, God, you know this, it's because sin in your life. You know? And then Job had to learn something too, because Job was an upright man. But he had to learn something later that, you know, before God... You know, we'll see how he repented in ashes, because when God spoke to him, you know, people say sometimes, unbelievers, if I ever went before God, I would have some things to tell Him. And my old pastor Kirkwood says, you know, even when you go before just the head angels, your tongue's going to shrivel up like an oyster. You know what I'm saying? Wait before, you know, people think of Jesus as the little... baby, you know, religious people like that, right? The little baby in the manger. You know, they like that. And they like Jesus on a weakling on a cross, the suffering servant. They don't like Lord of Lords and King of Kings, head of the body, because then we have a responsibility to Him. You know, little baby, maybe he just needs his diapers changed or something, you know? But when they don't like Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you know. And that King of Kings and Lord of Lords, His Spirit is already in a believer. That's why we have to learn something. You don't just know when you become a Christian, I can do all things through Christ. So I said, He is our Savior. But if that's all you know Him as, you're lacking in understanding. You have everything. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing, right? But you're lacking in understanding. Paul says, I've learned, right? Paul had to learn. Christ had to teach him, and we do too. And he learned Christ with his life. It's no longer I who lives. I'm not trying to produce this Christian life. I'm not going on my own strength. I'm generating on Christ's strength. You know, He'll express Himself. So let's go to Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz, if I'm pronouncing it right, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Where it says perfect, you know, there's none perfect, no, not one, right? Except Jesus Christ. What it means is he was blameless. He, you know, it says David was a man after God's own heart, right? That dude committed adultery. He set somebody up for murder. Why was he a man after God's own heart? Because he never turned away from God. Like the other kings in Israel and following idolatry. And David learned, and you know, God's not going to get us. So grace doesn't give us freedom to just go sin. It gives us freedom to serve. Because there's consequences when we allow ourselves to get caught up in things. There's consequences to that. Where we're not as available for God's use. And ain't there nothing better than serving God when He uses you to touch other people? If that's what's going to count for eternity. And to me, it's exciting. Today, did you come just to get, like, so I can learn a little bit more, get a little bit more of my head filled? Or did you come to get to know God better? Because He's infinite. And the way we get to know Him is through this Word, right? I want to know Him. And I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. And I want to learn how to walk more and more in that. But I'm going to tell you something. Job was an upright dude. He was a righteous guy. But he had some he doubted at times. And he didn't understand what he was going through, right? And Satan's going to attack you, you know. But I mentioned some of them things, you know, me and Mary's been going through. But even on Facebook, I share a lot of things. You know, I don't know, some of you are on Facebook. You're going to get attacked on there. I had people in my family attacking me, bringing up things from 25, 30 years ago, stretching truths, literally lies. And you know what we got to do when we get attacked by people? Forgive as you've been forgiven, right? Because everything in your flesh sure don't want to. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, right? You forgive. How? How much has God forgiven you for? Everything. Release it. And then pray for that person. It's hard to be mad at somebody when you're praying for them, right? But Satan wants to destroy your testimony. So he can't do nothing about your salvation. What's it called? What kind of life? Temporary? Probation? Eternal life. Is that temporary? So Satan can't do none. What he wants to do is destroy our focus or our testimony. That's what he's trying to do. And all the distractions. You know, many things demand our attention. Only Christ deserves it, right? And our focus. So we see Job was upright. And let's, just for time, go down to verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came before the Lord, and Satan came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comes thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down on it. Does that remind you of another verse? The devil goes to and fro like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the Lord starts bragging on Job. How'd you like the Lord, God, to brag on you? When you're available to them, because Satan will come, you know, he's the accuser, right? And God says, oh, they're righteous. Yeah, but they broke your law. Righteous. Christ fulfilled the law. They're my children. Have you seen them? And my eyes are perfect, righteous. Who can accuse you if God's, you know, for you? So, anyway, Satan comes on the scene. So there isn't just God, right? You got another enemy, and we got three enemies. Satan, the world, and that's Satan's, the idea, the course of this world, the thinking of this world. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you transformed, changed, like a butterfly? The Word of God, renewing your mind. Have you been into the Word of God? If you ain't, I know you ain't getting renewed. Amen? You got to feed yourself. So the Word of God that works in you, right? And energizes you. It's important. And you know when the least you feel like getting into the Word of God or praying? When is it? We're going through things, right? And Satan's like, knew I could get them real easy. You know, sometimes you feel so beat down, you know? If you get focused on the problems, and they're bigger than you, and you don't know what to do. And I remember at times saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. And what comes to my mind? I don't hear no voice. The Word of God. Be anxious for none, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests being made known to God. And then what happens? The peace of God that passes all understanding and protects your mind, your thoughts, and your heart, your emotions. And I'm like, I do know what to do, Lord. I need to pray. And God never said go by your feelings. If you feel like praying, if you feel like studying the Word, if you feel like forgiving them today because you're feeling kind of free, He says to do it. Feelings will come later. Because as you're bringing it to God, who's the focus on? God. When I got my mind on the mountain, you know, I ain't focusing on God. What about when you struggle with lust? Men are real good for that. I don't care how long you've been a believer, you still have a sin nature. And women can struggle with it too, or different things, jealousy, or, you know what I mean? When I get thoughts, they ain't right. You know, Bob George one time did a thing, a seminar on freedom from depression, and I took my buddy. And he says, how many of you, when you want to really get into prayer with God, or get into the Word, get the filthiest, dirty thought come to your mind? You know how many people raised their hand in that place? And he thought he was the only one. He was so ashamed, because like, I'm the only one who got to struggle with this. No. You know, but here's, you know, you don't battle. I'm not going to do it. I'm not, it's, that's not it. I'm trying on my own. The thing is, when I get thoughts, even say, when my family was talking about me, I was like, I could put some stuff out there on them too, you know, but that's a fleshy response. I mean, I know some stuff, you know, but you don't do that. You got to remember, it's not flesh and blood that are our enemies, but principalities and powers behind that, you know. So you pray. You don't go by feeling. It's like you forgive. I get into the Word because I need it. And not only that, because if we're not focused on God, or when I'm struggling with something, temptation, you know, and it's wrong thoughts, I say, Lord, I know that's not me. I know where that's come from. That ain't me, but I'm your child, holy without blemish, perfect in your sight. And so now my focus is on God. I'm not struggling anymore. That's the thing. My old pastor used to say, our only problem is adjustment to the Holy Spirit. That's our real problem. And he's going to adjust us through the Word. Little turn here, little turn there, right? He's going to transform us through the Word. So you see, Satan comes along, and Satan starts throwing some stuff out there in verse 8. The Lord said unto Satan, has thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth. Job was a good dude, man. Now, somebody's good, does that mean none don't coming into your life? If you got them expectation, because there's people, believers, who have lived good lives. They've really given to the church. They might have taught Sunday school. They might have preached, or they're always there. And then they come down with cancer. And then they start, God, I've served you all these years, been faithful. Why? And what I want to say is, don't feel guilty, because when you're going through things, it's natural to say, why God? You know, don't be ashamed. But God, if you'll go to His Word, He'll tell you why. We got an enemy, Satan. We got the world, and we got the flesh from within, right? Yet through the death, burial, and resurrection, God has given us victory over every single one. But we got to apply the Word of God. It's not how much you know. And sometimes I get aggravated myself because I'm not applying. I studied for years, and sometimes I'm not applying it. Or if I start getting down, see, if you know truth, one thing, you got to know it. Then you want to apply it. But when we're not, at least when I say, Lord, I'm starting to feel down, you know, I know what it is. This is God's will, that you give thanks in all things, right? You want to do God's will? I said, I'm not being thankful, Lord. I'm focused on all my problems. I'm not focusing on you. I'm not thinking about maybe I have the most wonderful wife in the world. I'm not thinking about I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. All this stuff is temporary. Health, houses, money, jobs. Even your marriage is temporary. I mean, I think with Mary, I'm hanging out with her in heaven. You know, might not be married anymore, but she's my best friend. And everything is temporary. We got to have that eternal perspective. So, in the end of verse 8, he's a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, and escheweth evil. So that idea of fear is standing in awe and respect. And then Satan says, then Satan answered the Lord and says, does Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in land. But put forth thine hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. Saying, take it up, take all of this stuff away, and he'll curse you to your face. And look what happens. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand, for Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Satan needed permission from the Lord. Don't think Satan, you know, you got these deliverance ministries, you know, trying to cast out the out of believers. Now, you never see, even in Scripture, out of a believer, somebody casting out a demon. But you got these deliverance ministries, the demon of lust, the demon of poverty, and, you know, binding and loosing, and, you know, all this stuff. Satan needed permission from God. Actually, I'll get to the verse, but there's another one that said that too. So if God allows Satan to do something, when you see the end of Job's life, he's blessed twice. When we go through things, what did Paul say? These things came upon us, and Paul said he was they were in despair. You know what despair is? Depression. That's when you're so depressed, you got all this fear and anxiety. Even Paul went through that. But he learned some things. And it says, with the comfort God gives us, what? We're able to comfort one another, right? So whatever you're going through, I can tell you with conviction. I haven't liked things we went through. It's just starting to have some light after a few years. Maybe a lady's father said, and this will pass also. What you're going through, maybe it won't. If it's physical, maybe God will heal you, maybe He won't. We pray for His will, right? But I know one thing. I remember when my business building, I said goodbye to it. I had some tears, and I'm like, I don't understand this, Lord. But I remember me and Mary going down Highway 55, and I said, you know what? I'm going to praise God anyway. Because why do you praise God? Because for Him to get some? That's false teaching today, isn't it? You just praise God because it motivates Him to bless you. Well, I thought we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. What more is He going to bless us with? We're blessed with everything we need. You praise God for who He is. He's Almighty God, the Alpha and Omega. He knows the beginning from the end. He loved you so much when you were a sinner. Christ, God demonstrated His love. And what? While we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. He's blessed us. We got a future heaven. We praise God for what? Who He is. We thank Him for what He does. There's a difference. And here's the thing. Are you going to praise God just when things are good? Oh, thank you, Lord, because, you know, you should. Thank Him for the good things. But in the midst of it, we live by faith and not sight. And Romans 8:28 says what? God's working all things for our good. What's that? All things. What are you going through? All things. Add it in your mind. What you're going through, God is working it for good. You say, but I can't see it. Well, we live by faith and we don't live by sight. We're not living in fantasy. God said it. I'm going to believe that. Because God can't lie. Everything you're going through, God is working it for your good. Do you want to be used of God to touch other people's lives? I hope so. If not, then you got some growing to do. Because me, I'm like, Lord, make me a blesser. I'm going to be a blesser. But it says all Scripture is what? God breathed or inspired, used for doctrine, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. God trains you through the Word, His Holy Spirit teaching you what the Word means as you're going through things. And then He's equipping you with some experience, right? So now you can comfort others. You can be a blessing to others. And you can look back and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for letting me go through that. My prayers went from why, Lord, to Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you allow me to go through so I can experience and with conviction you can share with somebody. Not just pop them a verse. You do share the Word. But you can say, take them verses and I know from my experience and I can tell you straight up, you know, from the streets, tell you straight up, bro, get the head going, you know. Tell you straight up, this is what God did in my life. I know this Word's real. I know it's real, not from my experience. It's real anyway. But I know in my experience, I experience the comfort and the love of God. And I'm learning that I can do all things through Christ. If you don't go through nothing, how do you know? You got some head knowledge, right? I know the verses, but it's when you go through it and you apply it to the details of your life, whatever you're going through, and just remember, Lord, it's giving God thanks. I think that brings God so much glory, and I think it just warms His heart. When we're trusting Him, when we don't see His hands move, we trust in His heart. I heard it said, that helped me a lot, because a lot of times you don't see something going, you know. What do we got? 1:45? All right. Russ. Anyway, look at verse 16. When he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and only I am escaped to tell you. What did he say? The fire of God. Did God do that? Satan did it. God allowed him to do something. So we blame God. How come God... And people, you hear it in pulpits. God did that to you. They made your kids sick because you had lack of faith. Or you got sin in your life. It's terrible. We forget there's... And then Job was going through things. Looking... Well, in Job chapter 2 at the end, his friends came to mourn with him and to comfort him. He says, you miserable comforters. They kept blaming, you got sin in your life, so God's getting you for it. You know. And then you see in chapter 6, verse 11, what is thy strength that I should hope? And what is mine end that I should prolong my life? You know what Job was experiencing? Despair, right? Depression. See, and you can understand why, right? All his kids died. He lost everything he had. He got this boils from head to toe. Now people, where they used to respect him, now they're disgusted. You couldn't even look at him. His wife said, "Why don't you curse God and just die?" Good wife, huh? Then, when you go to 7:7, again, he's at the really deep part of depression. He's in despair with no hope. "Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eyes shall no more see good." He's so focused on his problems that he can't even see any good. I remember that. Years back, I went through the real bad depression, not since with Mary, but I mean, where I just wanted to die. And it was like being in the black pit and no light. That's where Job's at. But you know what? I didn't understand grace then. I thought my life's over and all I wanted to do was die, and I was a believer. But I didn't know how to rightly divide the word. I didn't understand grace. And that, you know, it talks about Paul talks about taking every thought captive. And a lot of that has to do with false teaching, but also in our own minds. You got to take every thought captive. You know, when Satan comes, there was a guy when growing up, he wasn't even a tough guy. And I stopped hanging around in that neighborhood, but I'm walking down 26th Street, and he wasn't that tough. And there was this big Mexican guy, not a Mexican, that was born here, somewhere, maybe an illegal. Anyway, he was jumping up, smacking that guy. And that guy wasn't doing anything. And I thought, he don't even know. If he cracked this guy one time, he'd probably go running. He stood there letting them beat him up. Is it when isn't that kind of dumb? What do we do? Sometimes let Satan come, what my wife talks about, them doubting darts, them fiery darts. Their thoughts, doubts. Could be a lot of different things, but and we stand there and boom, boom, boom. Instead of taking them thoughts captive, right? Taking the word of God, knowing truth. And saying, "No, that's not from God. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. He's given me a spirit of courage, love, and a sound mind." Don't stand there and let Satan beat you up. You know? It's not a very good testimony. And then in verse 16 of chapter 7, verse 16, "I loathe it. I would not live away. Let me alone, for my days are vanity." He gets isolated. It's one of the worst things you can do when you're depressed. Not want to be around people. That's when you really need to be around people. And you know you need to be around as believers. And if you fall into sin, okay, go around spiritual believers that ain't judgmental. Get around them. And don't tell everybody sometime what you're into, because every believer, it's Christian gossip. "You know, we got to pray for so-and-so. They got sin in their life. We got a lot to pray for. Let me tell you, give you a little detail about it." Don't tell everybody your stuff, but go to somebody you know. There's people in the church that would just, well, your friend, and they care, and they're not going to, the Christian Ann Landers, you know, write a column, throw it out on Facebook, you know. Get around believers. Get into the Word. Get into prayer. And I want to show you, let's go to the end of the book. You know, he had miserable counselors, Job. So watch who you go to for counseling, and watch who you listen to. Pastors, Bible teachers. You know, ain't nobody got it all. So we can learn from people sometimes that don't even rightly divide the words. Or they might rightly divide it, but not right. You know, there's people I listen to that I learn things from that aren't mid-acts dispensationalists. But watch, because sometime a broken clock is right twice a day. If it's stuck at 12, 12 at night, 12 in the morning, it's right. But I sure wouldn't use that clock. So be careful. You want to really be under grace teachers, but we can learn from other people in the body of Christ, because nobody got it all. But be careful, because when you don't rightly divide the word, they might give you some really bad counsel. If you look in... Now God dealt with Job. God spoke to him. Where does God speak today? Through his word, right? So we want to get our counsel from God's Word. And Job didn't understand. Actually, even at the end, you don't see where Job really understood. Like where he, at least according to what's revealed, where God said it was Satan doing this, and this is why. But didn't God use Satan? I mean, Job, to bless how many people through the centuries? And at the end, it says in chapter 42, verse 12, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job, which he prayed for when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave him twice as much as he had. Let's just go to Romans 28. I'm going to be closing up with this. We started 5 or 7 minutes anyway, so I'm getting them back. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Who is that? Believers, right? For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That so, what is God working all things together for? To conform us more into Christ. He wants to make Christ express Himself to us so people see Christ in us more. That's how God's working it out for good. And not only that, when Paul said our light afflictions, right? What it, you know, what we're going to have, the rewards. And you know the rest of the verse. I have to close up. Just highlight it. It said, none can separate you from the love of God. What are you going through? That can't separate you from the love of God. What do you look at when you wonder if God loves me? At your circumstances? You look at the cross. Right? Yeah, God loved you. He gave His best for you. Did we deserve it? No. Did He love you? Yeah. And if God's for us, who can be against us? Right? And if He's working, it says, not even height nor depth nor width nor length, anything other created thing. Satan can't separate you from God. Anything you're going through can't. What it does, it can draw you to God. And I'm going to end with this. We can either get our attention off of God by going through things, or they can turn you to God. And He will give you strength. And you'll learn like the Apostle Paul. I've learned to be content in all things. Because why? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for giving us, as the other pastor says, a total victory program in grace. That we can do all things through Christ. And Lord, thank You for the things You allow us to go through. I thank You when understanding grace, we realize You don't put them on us. You're not punishing us. But You do allow us to go through things. So, as Paul said, so we wouldn't rely on ourselves, but on the living God. So thank You, Lord, for allowing us to go through things. I thank You that You're working them for our good. I thank You that we can be like Job and say, though He slay me, I'll still serve Him and praise Him. And Father, I pray for, I don't know what everybody's going through, but Your Holy Spirit does. And I think that's why You gave me this message, God. It was specially for that person. And I know we're all going through things, or we will be. Thank You for equipping us, Father. And I thank You, Lord, that as we go through things, we're more compassionate on when other people are going through things. Because sometimes when we don't go through it, we don't understand it and we take it lightly. But You give us passion for one another and deep love. And it causes Your grace to go into action and being there for one another. And then others can see that love and know we're Your followers. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So thank you for listening so well.
Let's just say
verse. Let's all stand. 35. Number 35. First verse.
Thank you.
No problem.